This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 16, On a Stroll with God. In this episode, I will explore why we make New Year's resolutions and how we can see 2016 as a stroll with God.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your host is Doug Bronner, senior pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And of course, we can't forget the sponsor of this podcast, Douglas Bronner Photography, where you can count on Doug to turn your mug into a mess. But in all seriousness, as an avid photographer, Doug has a goal of combining the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of God's Word in a daily Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion will dig deeper into a topic first introduced in one of these daily blogs. Thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast.
Well, I'm glad to have you back on this episode of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. I'm recording this again in our producer's studio, Jason Laird, and he'll be joining us a little bit later in this podcast. Rochelle is off playing hooky again and having a good time with the family, which she needs, with her spending some time with her kids. And being here, you have to understand why it's important for me to be here. Yeah, I could have recorded this by myself in my home and sent off the recording to Jason to have him put it in here, but it's been a real lonely week. I'm the only pastor on staff that's on duty right now at Holy Cross. The other two pastors are basically taking this week off. And so I've been cleaning my office, which I do kind of annually, which for those of you who have been in my office, you know how desperately it needed it. And what you do, if you come into my office now, what you won't notice is all the cleaning I had to do behind the shelves where I stick everything when I don't want people to see it. So I think I still have one of those cabinets I got to get done. But anyway, it's been good. So it's good to be back with you. I appreciate your being here. I'm not a New Year's resolution person. I think I've tried. I'm going to just hedge my bets on that because I don't remember the last time I made any serious New Year's resolutions and I wrote them down or tried to keep them because I know I'm going to fail anyway. Pulling up some statistics here that 45% of Americans usually make a New Year's resolution. You know, it's short of 50%. I thought that was pretty high because another 17% make them infrequently. And 38% never make New Year's resolutions. Well, that's kind of the category I would fit. If they were to ask me that question, that's probably what I would have said. And then you take that. Okay, so let's say somewhere between around 62% of the people either usually or infrequently make resolutions. Of those that make resolutions, only 8% of them would consider themselves successful in achieving their resolutions. So I'm not a mathematician. I don't know what that kind of number would look like, but it seems very low to me. And then add to that that the percentage who never succeed and fail at their resolutions each year is 24% of that 62% people. That's a high percentage. I mean, that blows me away. And you say, why would people continue to make resolutions? Well, we're going to deal with that question a little bit later, but I'm going to take a different approach to New Year's resolutions. One I heard on a podcast recently from another podcaster I listened to, and I thought it was kind of a cool idea. And that's about making a bucket list for 2016. Anyway, Praying with the Eyes is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, where I am senior pastor, and it's a great place to be. I love being a part of that community. And you can find out more about Holy Cross at holycrosscs.org, and you can find out what goes on there. You can listen to sermons that one of the pastors has preached there. And we'd love to have you come and visit and find out more about Holy Cross. If you would like to email me with any of your questions about today's podcast or anything else in life, you can do that by emailing me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, that's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. I would love to have you begin conversations and to, if something in this podcast today strikes you a certain way and you want to take me on with something, that's great. I'd love to. I'd love to have that conversation going on with you. You can go to our website, too, for the Praying with the Eyes ministry at prayingwiththeeyes.com. And there's a lot more going on there, a couple of blogs recently. I just wrote one. I posted it recently on Change. I was laying in my bed the other night, and the moon, we have a skylight, and the moon came through that skylight and woke me up, and it was just about ready to exit my skylight, and so I thought, oh, I'll just stay awake and watch it kind of move away. Well, it took almost a half an hour because of the curvature of the skylight, and I write about that related to change. We had another one recently written by my a good friend, Dave Brekeva, on his experience of going to Safeway on Christmas Eve. And it's really a good blog, too. So there's a lot of blogs there, plus a daily devotional blog that is posted. And I would encourage you to subscribe to the website. There's a little subscribe button off on the upper right-hand corner of the website. Give me your email. I don't sell the email addresses. I don't do anything with those outside of the Praying with the Eyes. And so you would get every blog that is posted, you'll get that, including the show notes for these podcasts. Anyway, so let's go back to bucket list. I know some of you are probably sitting there thinking, bucket list, that's what you do when you, things you would do, want to do before you die. And yeah, well, okay, I'm almost 60. So, you know, maybe that puts part of it in perspective for me too. But this was just a bucket list for the year, things you wanted to accomplish. I you know, granted, these things can be like New Year's resolutions, but there was something inside of me when I heard this guy talk about it. There's something inside of me that said, this is different. This is not like something that I could try and fail at as much as, well, I didn't accomplish it. So what? If I don't accomplish it, then I just put it on the list for the following year. And it's, so I'm one thing you're not going to get from me in my list. That I'm going to have also listed on in the show notes for this episode. You won't get me having a weight loss goal here. It's not going to happen. I still have one. I wrote in the most recent blog that I just did on change that I had lost 25 pounds and then I put 8 of it back on, and you know, that's kind of the roller coaster the way it goes, but I still have a goal to get there, but I'm not going to put that in a resolution. So we'll talk about a bucket list instead, a bucket list for 2016. So I'm going to give you 5 of things off of my list, and I'm still developing it some, and I'll explain it to you. Some of this is going to sound like, really, that's a bucket list item? Good grief, I do that every week. It may be true. It's very personal, right? A bucket list is very personal, things you want to do. So, number one on my bucket list of things I want to do in 2016, I want to go skiing again. Okay, some of you are sitting there saying, look, I got a pass to Vail and wherever else, and great, I'm glad for you. My son has one of those because he works for a Vail Corporation company, and he gets it free every year, that turkey. I get some benefits out of that though too. So anyway, I haven't gone skiing the last 2 ski seasons. The first time, 2 years ago was because I had, this is gonna sound really dumb and, you might get a kick out of this, but I had a joint replaced in my big toe on my right foot. It just sounds like, oh, come on. How can they do that? I had arthritis growing in there, bone spur, it broke, and it just destroyed my joint. So now it's still sore and stuff, but it's not the pain it was. That doesn't keep me. Last year, I couldn't go because I had serious back issues. And sometimes it was just enough to be able to walk down the steps was an accomplishment for the day. And I've had 3 back injections now, and I got this new chair. It's wonderful. I'll tell you, you got back issues. This is not cheap, but it was worth the expense for me. And that was a zero gravity chair. And when I come home at night, I sit in that thing probably pretty much until I go to bed. I sit in the morning when I get up too. But it's amazing how that zero gravity chair has taken pressure off my back. In fact, I don't even take ibuprofen anymore for the pain because it's relieved it so much. So going skiing is a big thing, and I talked to my wife Janice about this yesterday. It was like somewhere around 20 degrees here. She says, we'll talk about that tomorrow. Doesn't really care for cold temperatures. So hopefully we're going to have that conversation and get out and do some skiing. So that's one thing on my bucket list. Number 2, I want to take a motorcycle trip up into the mountains. Some of you know that I had owned a couple of motorcycles a few years back, and I actually sold them to buy a camera. I will not explain that. If you want to send me an email and ask why, I'll tell you why. But anyway, I've been wanting to ride again, and there's a member of my congregation who has a couple of bikes, and he's encouraged me to come out and ride with him. And he's done trips up to Yellowstone from here in Colorado Springs and done some long rides. And I would like to get back on a bike again and just kind of do a mountain trip. If you know anything about motorcycle riding in Colorado, you got to make sure you do that in the morning, especially in the mountains, but you get some pretty good thunderstorms in the afternoon. But it would be fun to just feel that air all around me again, and there's nothing like it. I know, you know, some of you are sitting there saying it's the most dangerous thing you can do in life. Well, there's a lot of things that are dangerous, and I just feel that I'd like to do that. So that's number two. First was go skiing. Second thing on my bucket list is to take a motorcycle trip into the mountains here in Colorado. Third, and this one's not going to make a sense to any of you, though, except you, my friends, who are out in Oregon. And that is, I want to take a trip to Bandon, Oregon. And that's southern Oregon coast. Yeah, I understand. Oregon coast, when people think of the Oregon coast and being on the Oregon coast, most of the time they're thinking about from about mid-state Oregon, which is about the city of Florence, up to the north end, up to Astoria, because the Highway 101 runs along the coast there, and you get these beautiful views, a lot to do, a lot to see, a lot of accommodations. But you head down south, close to the California border, and you get the city of Bandon. I don't ever remember being there. I've been just north of there in Coos Bay, North Bend. But I want to go down to Bandon. There's a lighthouse down there that I would like to take pictures of that I've never taken pictures of. And there's another reason. There was a family that I was very close to when I was growing up. And I spent a lot of time in high school out at their place in Vaughan, Oregon. If you look on a map, you probably won't find it. Anyway, they lived out by the sawmill, and we would go up in the woods, and we would just had fun. It was a nice place for me to go during my high school years. Well, the mother of this family is still alive, and she lives down in the Bandon area, and I would love to see her sometime. So, Virginia, if you're listening to this, I'd like to see your mom sometime, and maybe this summer we can work it out when I go visit my mom. So, Bandon, Oregon is another one thing on my bucket list for this year. This next one is the one that I'm probably going to, I need to do this, and I want to do this, but I'll tell you, it's a lot of work. And the fourth thing on my bucket list is I want to learn enough Spanish that when I go to Peru in August, I will be able to have a basic conversation with Ricardo Hidalgo, who is the head of the mission that we are supporting down in Peru. And it's so embarrassing for me when I go to, when I've been to Honduras and last year to Peru and then again this year, and I go, and I can't speak anything of Spanish. And I can, you know, I can do this, I can learn this. And probably what I need to do is watch more soccer on Univision and listen to those guys. And I got the goal thing down. I don't want to bust out your ears here. But anyway, I think that would be a good thing to do, just to be able to have a basic conversation. I'm not trying to set a high goal there. And that one, like I said, maybe that was more like a resolution. I don't know. But we'll see how it works out. The next one is something I have gotten away from, but I think putting it on the bucket list is going to be good for me to do. And if I don't accomplish this, it's one of those things I can really just put on to next year without any guilt. And that's to read 3 books. Now, for some of you out there that I know, you're sitting there saying, what, 3 books? Man, I do that every week. Yeah, you probably do. I'm a slow reader. I don't know. I think I've said this before on a podcast, but back in Cheech and Chong's heyday, and they had this one saying about the Evelyn Wood speed reading class, and it went something like, I took the Evelyn Wood speed reading course. It helped my comprehension. And that's how I read, okay? I have to read every word for word, and then I still don't remember it. I get distracted easy. My ADD kicks in when I'm reading. But here are the 3 books that I want to read. Okay, I want to read 1 book on preaching. I think it would be good to be challenged that. I haven't read a book on preaching, what should we call homiletics. I haven't read that for a long time. I'd like to have Pastor Dave Hall, my associate pastor, suggest a book to me that I might not otherwise read, and read that book. And then I've got to get back to reading Civil War historical novels. There for a while, I read those like crazy. I'm trying to remember titles right now. But there was an author, he wrote The Rebel, he wrote a bunch of them in a series, I think it's Starbuck Chronicles, and he never finished them, and I was really disappointed. I've read those like three times through. And so I'd like to do something new in that area. So that's number four. Number five on my bucket list. Well, that was number five. I can't read. So anyway, if you want to see those, you'll find those in the show notes for this episode. And you can find those episodes, these show notes at prayingwiththeeyes.com. And if you go to the category of podcast, it'll be there. It'll probably be in the upper slider. As soon as you get there, this podcast number, episode 16, should be up on the upper banner, sliding through with two other podcasts that I have there. And you should be able to find it easily. You click on that, and it'll take you to the show notes and to the player for this podcast as well. I hope you'll do that. I hope you'll go there and look at the show notes. Again, I want to repeat as we get ready to move into the next segment, I want to repeat something I think that's important here. And that is, why a bucket list, not New Year's resolutions? Well, and you can fail at a bucket list too. And maybe this is just a personal thing. And you may not feel this way at all. Maybe it'd be switched around for you because of how you think of a bucket list versus New Year's resolutions. I don't feel a bucket list. I don't have the sense of guilt. Even if I don't read three books this year or read those three books and read three other different books, I don't feel like I failed in doing that. And when I do a New Year's resolution, it seems to me that I'm setting myself up for failure. Maybe it's because of the statistics I read earlier. Yeah. Maybe because I look at that and say, well, most people are going to fail at making a resolution, right? There's only 8% of the people that keep their resolutions. That's not high. You know, I would be one of those, again, I feel like would be part of that 24%, and I don't feel like to feel like a failure. But here's the issue, and I'm going to take this on, and Jason's going to come on with me in the next segment, and here's what we're going to take on. We're going to take on what is it that keeps people writing New Year's resolutions when they know they're not going to be successful. And there may be many different reasons for that, but we want to take that on, and then we're going to talk about disappointment. It seems like this time of year, when we get to the end of a year, we look back over the year, and there's good things and other things, and some of us we're a lot different from each other, but some of us like to dwell on this didn't happen I thought was going to happen, and this happened instead, and the disappointments that come. So we'll take that on. And then in the third segment of our podcast today, we're going to talk about hope and why it is so important to have hope in our lives, which it seems to me that a bucket list, like I suggest, or for some of you, New Year's resolutions, or just how you approach coming into 2016 and the importance of hope. This podcast, though, is around this theme on a stroll with God. I mentioned that in the introduction. And so it's based on a blog I wrote a few years back. And a link to that blog is in your in the show notes, and you can go there to read the blog if you'd like to. And it's a picture of an old man that I ran into in the Garden of Gods when I was taking pictures one day. There was nobody else there, just a very few people, early morning. And he was strolling through, walked very slowly, and he intrigued me. He was really a fascinating guy. I'll tell you more about that when we get to the fourth segment of our podcast today. So we're going to take a short break here, and we'll be back in just a moment.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are, a place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts, a place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious fun and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Welcome back to this segment of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. The Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and I'm very grateful that the congregation allows me to do these podcasts. And those of you who from Holy Cross who are listening to it, I deeply appreciate your tuning in again today. Spread the word, if you could, about this podcast. Word of mouth is the best way to get it out there. We don't advertise for it. And if you post a link to the podcast on your social media, that is very helpful to getting new listeners to come in. I believe my goal is to add value to your life and not just to make it another talking head that's out there, but to add value. And I pray that's what's happening today. And I'm bringing in this time Jason Laird, my producer, and yeah. He's going to join me. Jason, good to have you on.
Well, I appreciate you having me on. Thank you. And thanks for coming to the studio, too. It's always nice to have you in here.
I like your studio. We're down in the basement.
Yeah.
In a corner of his house. We've got some cheesy old living room. My grandparents had those kind of lights.
You know what's funny? I think those are coming back, those kind of tree lights, because that's brand new, believe it or not.
So they call it tree light.
Is that what it's called?
I don't know.
It's got like a couple lights coming off the side, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. I believe they're coming back like a lot of stuff, but it reminds me of my grandparents. I don't even know if they had one, but, and the posters you got around here are rather interesting too.
Yeah. We've got some, Sun Recording Company posters, you know, all the celebrity posters, you know, between me and my roommate that we've met over the years and quite a variety, that's for sure.
Yeah, but two broke girls.
Yeah, we have to have the TV posters. I mean, obviously, you know, I used to work in TV. My roommate still does, so it's amazing what you accumulate when you work in that industry for a while.
And you don't throw it out.
No, of course not. You never know. That could be like collectible stuff here in a few years. I don't know. Maybe more than
Mike
a few years.
And Molly and two broke girls.
Oh, yeah.
They'll make it to Netflix.
Yeah, they'll make it Netflix. Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine that. You know you've made it once you hit Netflix.
Oh, gosh, isn't that true?
Of course, you might lose all your money, too. I don't know how that works with payments and whatnot.
Oh, no. You know, that's why we don't watch hardly any network television. So I never saw you when you were doing the weather, I think once.
Yeah, you didn't miss much.
Yes, I did. I do see your roommate every once in a while, though.
Yeah, he's still on. Still on, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but I watched most, and I watched enough of it is on Netflix. I'm addicted right now to NCIS.
So is my mom. I think she's seen every NCIS known to man. That and Criminal Minds.
You know, if she's watched that much, she's spent a year of her life in front of the television.
I wouldn't be surprised. See, she gets to like crocheting, or now she got into quilting, so she'll sit there and do this multitask thing.
Yeah, I saw the quilt she's doing upstairs.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Those were all our Christmas presents this
year. Cool.
But no, she's addicted to that and Criminal Minds and the other one on Netflix, not to get too off subject.
That's all right.
Have you seen Lieutenant Kenda, the... it's a murder show. It's right here in the Springs, though.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
no, I have
all
not.
The murder cases are...
I have to write this down.
Yeah, what is it called?
Because we love the murder.
The detective is Lieutenant Kenda.
Lieutenant Kenda.
Look it up, yeah.
Here in the Springs, though,
mm-hmm.
why don't we ever see the crew?
I don't know. So most of the murders, what is the... I'm trying to figure out what it's called.
You know, a lot of our listeners are knowing.
Oh, Homicide Hunter. That's what it is. It's called
Homicide Hunter. Okay.
And Lieutenant Kenda. And we actually, when I was still in TV, I was never there when they did it, which was kind of disappointing, but they would bring him in for interviews periodically. And,
okay.
So he's retired now, but he solved over like 400 cases throughout his career. And that's what this whole thing is about, is basically they go back and, you know, take a case and kind of break it down and how he solved it. And, you know.
So they're real cases. These are all real cases.
Oh, all real cases. Wow. And I mean, they kind of reenact parts of them,
sure,
you know,
sure.
And they're pretty crazy. But what was so unique to me is, like I said, you know, they're all done right here in the Springs. I mean, every single case is right here in the Springs and surrounding area. So it was kind of crazy.
Get a real history of this place.
Yeah, you do.
The
you
seedy
do.
Side of
right,
Colorado
right. I mean, it was just nuts, you know, because I started watching it before I even moved here. And then when I moved here, I was kind of like, oh, I know that place. You know? So, but then again, it gets kind of paranoid too, I guess, after watching
it. Yeah. Yeah. Colorado Springs is a nice, a great place to live, but it's definitely got its issues too. So let's go back to what we were talking about, Jason. And first of all, I want to ask you, do you make New Year's resolutions?
You know, I used to. I used to make some basic ones. Like I remember one year I did, I was going to cut out pop, or I guess you could say soda. Do they call it soda down here?
I grew up with pop. I grew up with pop too.
Okay. Yeah. Well, soda or pop, whatever, soda pop.
Yeah.
I've done that. I've done the whole, you know,
or
exercise Coke. Yeah, if you're down south. I've done the exercise regimen. So I've done a few different things over the years. All of them have failed though. I can't think of one. I made one. I think the longest one I ever had was about 6 to 8 months.
Whoa.
Right.
It was the soda one.
And then I just fell off the bandwagon and it's been downhill ever since.
Oh, I gotta say, when you fall off a bandwagon on soda, it's bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Cause it's like this.
You come back twice as hard.
Oh yeah.
I've been depriving myself
of
this
right?
so long.
The nectar.
So, yeah. But you did do it. And I'm sitting there going, still racking my brain to say, did I do it? And I have to just kind of say, probably did somewhere, but it was so not impressive to me that that doesn't stick with me. Of course, I could blame it on, you know, just time of life.
Right, right.
But no, so you stopped because you weren't keeping them?
Yeah, I mean, it's something that I was always like, you know, if I'm going to do it and if I'm going to set my mind to it, there's no reason to either wait till a new year or, you know, basically what I kind of came up with in my head is if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I'm not going to A, wait for the first of the year, and B, I'm not going to have that extra reason. If I'm going to do something, if I'm going to get in shape or, you know, eat better or whatever, I'm going to do it because I want to do it. I'm not going to do it because it's like my resolution. So that's kind of why I got out of it, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. It does make a lot of sense. And, it seems to me, though, that as people do make resolutions, going back to statistics again, you're on par with most everybody else. You know,
right,
that you
right.
did not keep them, and yet they keep making them. And so what I think I'd like to explore with you a little bit here, Jason, is when we get to an end of the year, we're recording this the end of December, mm-hmm. and just a couple of days away from New Year's Day, and we do this life in review. You and I were talking before about all these television, I don't know if they're shows so much, but like the news will have a year in review.
Oh yeah, totally, totally. Mm-hmm.
And if you're on Facebook, you get the one with, if you put pictures up, they somehow have your pictures.
Yeah, the life in review. Yeah, that was kind of crazy.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's kind of scary too.
Right. It's all saved
it's
in
like
cyberspace.
It is. So what will be known about me in the year?
Yeah, I know. Just think it's going to be, you know, however many years from now, it'll be like ancient history. And
it's still there. Hey, okay, so, you know, you said that, but I'm cleaning up my office. Guess what I threw out finally?
What'd you throw out?
Those little mini discs.
Discs?
The not the big floppies, but the one that's
they
next
look
generation.
Like a CD, but they're smaller?
A lot smaller. This is
I know what you're
square.
Talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
Did you ever see those big Hummers? They look like records.
Yes, yes.
We used to have those in middle school. They were like the latest and greatest. And I was like, I remember thinking about it. I was like, okay, you know, because DVDs were out, but then this big disc, you know, I was like, what made it better? I don't know.
Yeah.
Those died off pretty quick.
Quality, right? Quality.
Right.
Like 8-tracks, you know. 8-tracks were a good thing, actually. They were a good thing. They're just too big. Couldn't
right.
put as many of them in your car.
Right.
They probably were. I'm not an expert in this, but I would assume that the quality of sound was better on them than on a cassette.
I don't know so much about cassette versus 8-track, but again, kind of my music background, you know, working in radio, believe it or not, records. If you get a really clean record with a really good player, you can actually get a better sound. No kidding. A better sound out of a record than you can a CD.
Oh, I believe
that.
Or an MP3. Yeah, yeah.
It's a lot crisper, a lot clearer. So,
but even there, some I know my sons are starting to collect vinyls. And part of that is they like some. Some don't like necessarily all the cleanness. Of a CD, mm-hmm. and so forth. But anyway, so we get to the end of the year. We want to do this new year in review, and as we do, some of us end up pretty disappointed about the past year, about what happened in the past year. And especially then, so you write these resolutions, you don't keep them, you say, well, you may have even written them down, and you go back and look at them, and all of a sudden you get depressed because I didn't keep half of or any of my New Year's resolutions.
Right.
And so we have this sense of disappointment that comes with it. So just in a general sense, let's talk about disappointment, not necessarily in the context of New Year's, but how do you handle disappointments?
Boy, there's a couple of different ways, you know. I would say probably the biggest way I'll handle disappointment is trying to distract myself from that disappointment. Maybe if it's with something with work, I'll try to do something completely opposite that's going to take my mind off of that distraction. I think the main way I handle that letdown is again, just kind of distracting myself from it and trying to, you know, not think about it, which the right thing would probably be to sit there and analyze it, you know, and kind of work through it. But I tend to try to step away from it before I, you know, realize, okay, that's not going to work. And then I got to kind of readdress it and figure out that problem.
Well, I think you're expressing what many of us feel in the sense that we get that disappointment. We don't want to deal with it because it hurts.
Right. Exactly. You want to try to distract yourself from it.
Right.
You know, pretend
right.
it didn't happen
yep.
or, you know, put it behind you. But really, I think the only way to actually do that is face the problem and figure out, okay, you know, what happened.
And then again, that's going to be based on the degree of the disappointment too. You know, just a little disappointments, you know, daily we have
probably
disappointments mm-hmm. and maybe wouldn't call them that, but you know, you look at evaluate what it is. You didn't get your second cup of coffee. You only had one cup of coffee.
Right.
In the morning.
Exactly.
Maybe you're disappointed with that. So, you know, it's a low level, but sometimes it's something pretty big. It could be something like, a relationship didn't turn out the way you expected it to.
Sure. Sure.
You know, mm-hmm. friendship, you had plans and things for it and it doesn't. And that cuts at the core because you say, is something wrong with me?
Right, exactly. I mean, there's things that can happen that are so deep, especially even revolving around a New Year's resolution that, you know, like you said, it's something that you're like, well, what is it me? You know, is it, am I weak? Am I whatever? You know, and it's almost like it becomes that internal issue, if that makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And it is an internal issue, I think. I think it hits us and depending on the person, too.
Right.
I am a much more... In the scale of men, I'm much more on the feeling side, emotional side than most men.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of my biggest struggles is that I take things way too personally. So when I'm disappointed, I will go deep inside and say, well, what did I do?
You right, know? And, right.
And then it follows up sometimes by anger, too. I get angry.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. I know exactly what you're saying there. I mean, there's multiple things that I can think of, you know. I think, again, going to that New Year's resolution, I would say probably anger is one of the biggest emotions you would probably feel after failing at a New Year's resolution, especially like maybe it's weight loss or eating healthier. Like, well, why can't I do this? You know, what is wrong with me? Or why can I not do something as simple as going to the gym every other day? You know?
Because once you get out of the habit, you're out of the habit. I did that for a while. I didn't, you know, and I hadn't... I don't know if it was a New Year's resolution or not, but going to the local gym here mm-hmm. and did well, but then I go on vacation in the summer. I may work out well until vacation. I cannot, and it's my issue, I cannot get back into routine.
Right.
I've been out of it. And I've enjoyed more of a lazy lifestyle, whatever.
Right. I read a really good book. Well, I'm currently reading it. It's called The One Thing, and a guy by the name of Gary... I think it was Gary Keller wrote it, Keller and Williams Realty.
Okay.
He's one of the owners there. And basically what this book focuses on is, you know, concentrating on one thing, you know, picking that one thing every day or that one thing every hour that's most important, doing that and everything else will kind of fall into place. And something that book really, you know, brought forward was to set a, not so much a goal, but basically to create a new habit. You know, a lot of research says, well, if you can do it for a month, you know, you're okay. But in all reality, upwards of 90 days minimum to change your lifestyle or change a habit in your life. And if you can't hold it for 90 days, the chances of you reverting and going back are, you know, almost 100% when you break down that research. And I found that very, very interesting because, you know, you think like...
It's also depressing.
Yeah, I know. If you can, you know, you think to yourself, well, if I can just, you know, run for a week, you know, or go to the gym for a week, I'm going to get, you know, in the habit. But when you really look at it and break down those statistics, again, according to this book, The One Thing, they talk about 90 days minimum, and it ranges. You know, some people, 60 days, 30 days, they can handle that life change, but you're closer to 90 days. You know, think about that, 90 days, 3 months to really change or create a new habit in your life. And I think that's where, you know, people don't realize that, you know, there's a lot of effort that has to go forth to change something that big.
For the blog I just wrote on the Praying with the Eyes website on change, that's what hit me with this moon. It wasn't moving, and I wanted to get there. And so I had a line in there about that we get wrapped around the axle of time, And we want it to happen now. We want to, just because what, you're, what I'm hearing, totally. What you're saying is that we make a change for that 1 week and we expect exactly. that change is going to affect the rest of my life.
Exactly.
And yeah, actually it feels good. When I was losing weight, it was just, I was really driven. And
Right, totally.
Keeping track of my calories and using an app, my phone for it. And it was great. And then it got to be work.
Exactly.
And it wasn't as fun.
Right. Or you see those results kind of start to plateau a little bit.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
which happens.
I even go through that with, you know, my production company. You know, I'm like all for it. You know, like 2 weeks, I'll be hitting it hard, calling lots of people, sending out lots of letters and emails. And then I don't get a lot of response. And I'm kind of like, eh. And all of a sudden, like you said, you know, something that I'm passionate about and I love doing kind of plateaus. And I'm like, well, why? You know, and then I start to slip off the bandwagon a little bit. So,
and that's disappointment. What you just explained is just what disappointment does, I feel.
Right.
It all of a sudden, we just kind of throw up our hands and say, what's the use?
Right.
And that's not a healthy place to go. But what we're going to take a break again. And when we come back, we're going to talk about the other side of that. Because, we can look back at 2015 and say, yeah, I'm disappointed. Maybe some of you aren't. Maybe some of you are out there going, man, I'm feeling really good about myself because I kept my resolutions.
Right.
And you should be feeling good about yourself.
Please let me know how.
Yeah. Give us the formula for
exactly.
how you did it.
Write a book.
There's another side of that. As we get to this time of year, we look forward to 2016, and we're going to talk about hope. We've talked about disappointment. Now let's move on to hope. So we'll be back in just a moment.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
If you have any questions for me, please feel free to email me at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. If you have things you just want to share, that's a great place to share too with me. It's personal. I don't share those out there. And I'd love to have those conversations with you. And once again, I'm just repeating that this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And it's been hard. It's hard to believe that I'm going into my fourth year of when I began this ministry, not of podcasting, but of the Praying with the Eyes ministry. And I'm very grateful to God and for the people who support this ministry. So last time, Jason and I were talking about disappointment that comes when you get to the end of a year, and we look back over our year, and there's dealing with disappointment, and how does that look? But there's also another part of it when you come to the end of a year that breeds hope. And to me, some of that reason why it breeds some hope is that it's like when the ball falls in New York City, and we're all going to watch it, if you can stay awake.
It's only 10 for the ball, right?
Yes, that's right. That's right. We will, you know, we'll be done with 2015. So it's like the slate gets wiped clean. And I can, and I think one of the reasons why we keep doing New Year's resolutions is because I'm trying to rewrite the next year so it'll be different. Even when in the back of my mind I sit there and say, I'm not going to. Yet I found the top 10 New Year's resolutions for 2015, what they were. Probably not going to be a surprise to any of you. Number one, as I would expect, is lose weight. That seems to be the number one. Then get organized. That one kind of surprised me. Number two is get organized.
Interesting.
Yeah, it is. Must be a lot of unorganized people out there. Or maybe it's the organized people who are frustrated because they can't be organized. Because I don't get frustrated about it.
I don't know. Maybe. They're probably one of those where they, you know, the clean house, they got everything, but they want that extra edge, I guess.
Maybe. Spend less, save more is number three. Four is enjoy life to the fullest. Number four. Number five is stay fit and healthy. Number six, learn something exciting. Seven, I thought this one would be higher, to be honest, is quit smoking.
Oh, sure. Yeah, that seems like a big one.
You know, maybe there's just not as many people smoking anymore.
That very well could be. That could be. I mean, I think there's a lot more resources out there, too, where it's, again, you don't have to wait until the first of the year. I think there's a lot more resources out there. So,
help others in their dreams. I like that one.
That's a cool one.
Yeah, it is really cool.
That's a really cool one.
Yeah. You know, that could be a bucket list one. You could put that into a bucket list.
Oh, totally. Totally.
I'm going to help somebody achieve a goal that they have in their life.
Right.
Number nine, not surprising either, is fall in love. And that's a tricky one. You know, you say,
I don't know how you could plan that.
I don't either, you know.
That's kind of more of a fate thing. I don't know.
Yeah, but it's out there. It says something about us human creatures when we write a resolution like that.
Sure, right.
And then the last of the top 10 is spend more time with family. What I found interesting, unless it's included with lose weight, I didn't find one here. Oh, there it is. I guess number 5 was stay fit and healthy. I guess that's exercise.
Maintain.
Yeah. So we're going to write these kind of resolutions again, or put them into a bucket list of some sort for 2016. There's something powerful about hope, having hope for the next year. But before we get there, we're going to step back a second. During that break, we were talking, Jason and I were talking about disappointment. And I want Jason to share his thoughts on this. He was talking about society aiding in this feeling of failure and disappointment. What do you mean by that?
Well, and I guess where I was going with this, and if you think of society, and I guess I can really relate to this, you know, being 26, is everything, you know, especially in the younger audiences, is now. It's instant, right? You don't want to wait for it. I mean, think about it. You don't have to wait for the news. You don't have to wait for your mail anymore. You don't have to, you know, wait to watch your favorite program on TV. And I think in a sense, that goes back to kind of talk about, people don't want to wait for results. So like weight loss, for instance, you know, you go into it thinking like, oh, I'm going to start to see these results almost right away. Well, in reality, you don't.
Unless you're a man.
Right.
Men
fluctuate pretty quick there.
But I think there's studies out there. We'll lose fast weight the beginning faster than
right,
women.
Right, right. And I think that...
Do that with your wife. Don't tell her how much weight you're
losing. Yeah, exactly. Right? But I think society almost aids in this false sense of ability. Does that make sense? Like, you know...
Oh, interesting, yeah.
You know, it's almost like they feed into like... you're going to get fit, you know, in a quick fashion. And society's so now, and instant. I mean, you don't have to wait to go to the store. If I need something, I go on my phone right here and order it off of Amazon and it shows up in 2 days. You know, so I feel like people have gotten away from waiting, and society is so now, and instant that they forget that some of these New Year's resolutions are not going to happen overnight. They're not going to happen in sometimes even a month. This is a long-term thing, and I think it's easier in today's day and age to lose interest in something because just the way society is. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. And what I was thinking about as you were saying that is I wonder how many people who write New Year's resolutions have one that it's dated, I will accomplish this by December.
Right.
That's 12
right.
months just, away.
Right,
you know,
right.
It, putting a time to it, you know, and it's and yet some things may even last longer
than
a year to really make a change on. So this gets back to the issue of hope for me in this way. And it's a negative sense of hope, but it's still hope in the sense that when I'm done with 2015, it's washed off my life and done away with. Now this 2016 is that we have a hope that these resolutions will all be accomplished by the end of January.
Right. Right.
That we're going to surprise ourselves. We're going to we're going to have quit smoking.
Right.
And by that time.
And that urge is going to be gone by the end of January.
For the rest of my life, it's going to be
exactly.
Gone.
Exactly.
You know, yeah.
You're not going to have any relapses. It's all going to be okay after 30 days. And it's like, well, not really.
So hope deals with the future, though. So there is a time element to hope. But hope is powerful. We've probably talked about this before, Rochelle and I or other guests, but hope, if you don't have hope, it's easy to give up on life and to go so far as to take your own life. Hope keeps us going. In concentration camps, it was shown that those who had hope would survive, had a more likely chance to survive, something right. They had something to live for.
Right. Would you say hope, and again, this is just me, question from me to you, would you say hope and faith almost are hand in hand, in a sense?
Yeah, the reason I'm pausing, I'm trying to put these together. So,
right.
Excellent question. First of all, for me, it seems like how could I have hope If there isn't an element
if there's no faith.
If there's no faith.
Right. And if you don't have that faith, how are you going to have hope? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
It just popped in my mind. I don't know if that's completely off.
No, it's not. No, I think that's a good point. But yet they're distinct. You know,
right.
You know,
exactly. They're two separate elements. But again, if you don't have that faith, or you know, how are you going to believe in the hope?
Yeah, how are you going to hold on?
I don't know.
And how are you going to hold on to hope, okay, if you don't have faith?
Right, right, right.
Because I have, let's see, I have...
That's a toughie, I know.
No, it's good. I'm just trying to process through it. So if I have a resolution, a New Year's resolution, that I am going to... I'm going to improve my relationship with my spouse.
Okay.
Okay. Now, maybe that's not real tangible. You say, well, how you work that out into details. Okay?
Right.
Okay. So that's my hope. By the end of 2016, my relationship with my spouse is going to be better than it was at the beginning of 2016.
Right.
And now faith says this can happen.
Correct. Yeah.
And it grabs hold of what you cannot see.
I feel you have to believe it can happen. You know,
yes.
And there again, without that faith, how are you supposed to believe that? Because, I mean, if you go into something with like, it's probably not going to work. It's not going to happen. You got to believe in that.
You really do. You have to have that sense that there is that what you're writing is going to happen. And it reminds me of the definition that the writer to the Hebrews gives to faith, especially in our relationship with God. He says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. And he goes on to say, for by it people of old received their commendation. And it, you know, you think about that definition, and that is faith. But it connected with hope there as well, even though the word hope isn't used. It was a conviction of things not seen. That's pretty powerful.
Right, right. And again, kind of falling into the things not seen, that seems to faith to me, you know.
Yeah, so. I can't, is there any guarantee that by December 31st of 2016, my relationship with my wife will, or my husband, my spouse will be better?
Right, right.
No, you know, you hold on to the things you can't see and you believe they're going to happen. So it's hope. There's hope in that.
Right, right.
That is definitely intertwined with it. That's a good point.
I don't know. It was something that just popped into my mind, and I was like, boy, it's almost as if they kind of go hand in hand in a sense, you know?
So how do we handle it then when we get to the end? We have this hope that something's
right.
going to change my relationship
right.
with my spouse. And let's say it doesn't happen. Again, are we getting wrapped around the axle of time that it had to happen by that time, or we just keep pushing on past that? You know, saying, okay, I made this resolution, and this is what I've done. Let's say you've been conscientious about it. You've tried to do things with your spouse,
right,
to improve that, and yet you're not seeing what you have determined to be what it should look like.
Correct. Yep.
Do I end up disappointed, or do I sit back and reevaluate my expectations?
Well, I think the human element is going to sit back in disappointment. You know, I mean, what person is like going to put all this effort into something and trying to change something, and then just be like, Yeah, I tried. I don't know. So I think, you know, the human element would be disappointment. Boy, that's a tough one.
See, I think I got to reevaluate it too, because as soon as you're talking about that, I'm going, ooh,
right.
what if in my desire to change this relationship with my spouse, what it really was being was manipulative.
Mm-hmm.
I'm this relationship with my spouse, I wanted it to look this way. Maybe God wanted it to look a lot different.
Right.
Than that.
And, exactly.
And I'm sitting here evaluating it. Again, you said, I think rightly, from a human perspective. In my humanness, I'm sitting there saying, it didn't work.
Right. I failed at it. You know, I put all this time and effort and I failed.
Yeah. Because my relationship with my spouse isn't what it ought to be. And I think then that a good part of this then is that maybe it's okay to feel disappointed, but maybe we ought to spend some time reevaluating why we didn't. Do things in our bucket list or whatever.
Right.
But still, so you don't lose hope. You know, if I can go back and evaluate it and examine it, maybe even with my spouse, I sit down with my wife and I say, hey, Janice, you know, we assuming we talked about mm-hmm. it, you know, we talked
right,
about making
right.
this, but I don't feel like we're there. Maybe you do. Let's talk about it.
Right, right. I think staying on the same page in that particular scenario would be very, very important. Because again, maybe one person has like totally reached that, you know, goal well, the other person is kind of feeling.
Oh yeah, very true.
Right, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And then, yeah, so you get that situation where you talk to your spouse and says, "What do you mean? I feel like we surpassed that goal."
Right, well, right.
And I'm not. I'm going, okay, we've got a problem
and
here.
With... not to keep bringing faith back into it.
Oh, please
but,
do.
But that maybe is that situation where, okay, you know, you hope that things are going to work out and you have faith that things are going to work out. Well, you get to the end of the road or the end of the journey and it hasn't happened. Maybe that's where your faith has to come back into play and be like, listen, obviously, I don't know what I'm doing. I didn't necessarily follow the road that God wanted me to follow. I'm going to have to rely back on my faith to figure out what does God want me to do? What road do I need to travel down? So it's almost like faith needs to come back into it. Does that make sense?
Oh yeah, it does. I don't think it necessarily even has to come back into it. It's already there. It's got to be
right.
A part of the whole process.
Exactly. Exactly.
See, yep. That's interesting too, because what I started thinking about then, Paul always combines, always, I'm prone to exaggeration, excuse me, often combines faith, hope, and love.
Right.
Is there an aspect of love which seems so different than faith and hope that also plays a role in the coming 2016?
Yeah.
God's love for me, because what my mind went then was to think about, it seems like New Year's Day can be a day of celebrating grace. In
right.
that even though we experienced grace all in 2015, but to sit there and say, it's grace that sets me free from where I messed up.
Right.
But it's also grace that pushes me into my next year
to be
different.
Right, right.
To me, it's all about grace. I wrote that in the blog too. It's what the name of that blog, if you go to the website, the Praying with Eyes website, is, I can't even remember what I wrote. The Moon Disappearing. Waiting for the Moon to Disappear. And I would encourage you to read that. I'll put a link to it in the show notes. And but I bring this issue of grace into that picture.
Mm-hmm.
If we go by rules and regulations, that can change my behavior. So maybe I stopped looking at resolutions for 2016 as rules and regulations, the law,
mm-hmm.
And see it as grace.
Right.
Because grace is the power to change me. It changes my heart. It changes me inside out, not outside in.
Correct.
Sometimes I feel easier to change behavior when you're just trying to change according to the rules. I don't know that it lasts that long. But grace goes back to the issue again of time. It takes time. It works. It's slow. And
right.
You're right. We want everything instantaneous. We want our heart changed immediately so that we can really embrace our spouse or our children or the coworker that we're struggling with or
mm-hmm.
whatever. I don't know.
No, that makes perfect sense. I mean, I found some interesting. So I just out of curiosity, just typed in faith.
See, I can tell you're a millennial and I'm not.
Really?
Because you can do two things at once.
Yeah, well, I don't know.
If you get these pauses, you know, and then you
right.
say, oh, Doug's really trying to think about this. No, so I'm typing, trying to find something on the internet.
Exactly. So I just out of curiosity, I Googled hope and faith
okay.
and then went to quotes just to see, you know, what would come up. And there was two that really kind of played into what we were just talking about. God is working things out for you, even if you don't feel it, have faith and be thankful where faith and hope grows the miracle blossom. That was kind of interesting. These aren't necessarily like, you know, Bible verses, but just quotes, for instance.
Right.
Or,
sure, sure.
Faith is not hoping. God can but believing. How does that say? I can't even read now. We were talking about reading earlier here.
You want my glasses?
Yeah, I know, right? Faith is not hoping God can, but believing that God will.
Yeah, yeah. There's a big difference in that.
Exactly. So I just thought that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
I was just curious what would come up when when you tie those two together.
And then
quite a bit does, actually.
Okay, since you got the ability to multitask, do faith, hope, and love.
Okay. All right. And there's actually one that's just right here in front of me.
By the way, listeners, we're getting this. We're not screening these ahead of time. So
no.
If there's swear words in them and they actually come out, we're sorry about that ahead of time.
I've done this long enough. I hope I can screen, but you never know.
I know. I just try to screen my own filters. Still the Austin Powers.
Right.
When I talked to my inner voice. Did I say that out loud? In fact, I think I just said that recently to somebody.
Right. Here's an interesting one. Living faith, bringing hope, showing love.
Yeah.
It's kind of interesting. But yeah, a lot of them, I'm just, when I type up the images under faith and hope and love.
You begin to wonder what people hear when they combine those together. And then Paul, of course, says that the greatest of these is love.
Right.
But not negating the other two.
Correct.
So
correct.
Anyway, I hope we haven't been just rambling here for our audience.
I hope not. No, it's a very good possibility.
I feel that way. You know, it's often I feel that way. You know, I got the script.
I think that's
here
when some of the best conversations come up, though.
Well, they're real and they're raw. Once you understand that we do have an outline here and questions, but we do not know where we're going with it. Even when I do a monologue, I don't always know where I'm going, which is obvious to some of you. We're going to take a break, and when I come back, I'm going to talk about the blog that's entitled On a Stroll with God. And so we'll be back in just a second.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45, or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
Welcome back to this last segment of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. And it was just a joy to do this. And it always amazes me what happens in the discussion. And that's purposeful. Jason and I were just talking about how we have a script. You know, I've told you that before, but it's very light because we want it to be kind of organic, I guess is the word that I think of, coming out of the moment. And which actually kind of makes it could be kind of interesting because in future episodes, I might contradict myself. And that's okay with me, actually, because in processing through things, I know I've mentioned things in this podcast I've said in others, and maybe I didn't say it the same way. And you understand that I don't have all the answers. I do know Jesus Christ, and I know that he's the answer for my brokenness of my life. But when it comes to living out my life, it's just sometimes it's a daily grind, like everybody else. So as I like to do in this last segment, and it doesn't always happen this way, but today, as we begin this new year, I wanted to bring back a post that I actually wrote about, looking at the date on it, was about a year and a half ago. And it's taken from the Garden of the Gods. And you can go to the show notes, and the picture will be on that page, as well as a link again to this blog, and other stuff will be there. You get my bucket list and some other stuff that'll be there as well. Anyway, Garden of the Gods, it's my go-to place when I want to get away and do my therapy by taking pictures. And so sometimes I go there very early in the morning, and this happened to be one of those days when I had gone early in the morning. I think it was in the fall, and that I'd gone out to the Garden of the Gods. There weren't many people there. You know, the summer traffic was gone and getting a little cooler in the mornings. And I was taking pictures in the quietness of the garden. And there was this old man that came by me. He walked very slowly with a cane. And he grew up in northern Germany. He's lived in Colorado Springs for, at that time, 11 years. So now about 12 years. Then he's lived in Colorado Springs. And he just had this humongous smile on his face, and talked to him for a little bit. He really didn't want to talk a whole lot, and it wasn't because he wasn't friendly. He just needed to go for his walk. That's why he was there. And I'm still lacking some courage in my photography. I still lack courage to ask people, can I take your picture? And I should have, because I had both my cameras. I had two cameras with me that day. One just that I used for just kind of regular snapshots, and then I had my Sony A65 with me as well. And I would have loved to have had a picture of this guy in his face. But what you get in this picture is him walking away from me and strolling away from me. And it caused me to think what's important in life. As we look into 2016 and our plans, whether we're going to do a bucket list or resolutions or neither, as we look into the 2016, how are we going to approach this coming year? And I tied then with this gentleman. I don't know if he's a Christian or not. And he was just a great guy to hang out with. I tied in Micah 6:8, and some of you right away know that passage because for many people, this is one of their favorite passages of Scripture. And I'm quoting from the New Living Translation. "Know, O people, the Lord has told you what is good, and this is what he requires of you, to do what is right, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God." And I think, you know, Jason, pipe in here if you would. It seems like that speaks to what we were talking about with waiting,
right?
And it seems, I don't know, what is that? What maybe I'm using a passage that is going, what did you use that for? What does that passage say to you?
Again, waiting, I think, is a big one, and God's time, not your time. That's what really kind of pops out to me.
Okay.
Just because I think something should happen in a certain time frame doesn't necessarily mean that is the right time frame.
Yeah. And there's nothing about that in this. It's just that what does God desire from us, require of us? Do what's right, love mercy, walk humbly with your God.
Right.
And now, as I look at that, if I put those into a bucket list or a New Year's resolution, I might find myself feeling like a failure, especially with the first one, do what's right.
Right.
I think that's what New Year's resolution, a lot of them are all about, is let's try to do what's right. Let's quit smoking. Let's get some weight off. Let's pay attention to our family. And, you know, and yet it seems so simple and not complicated. Do what's right, love mercy, walk humbly with your God.
Mm-hmm.
Walk humbly with your God. That's the one that you can meditate on for quite a while, I think, what that looks like. I feel like this guy was a picture of that to me. He didn't have a concern. Maybe he did. Okay, mm-hmm. I'm just picturing this short contact and what I'm seeing, how he's moving, and a smile on his face.
Right.
And if he's still alive, because he's quite elderly, I'm sure he's still got that smile on his face.
Right.
To me, walking humbly with your God is that inner peace.
Right.
Knowing that I'm peace with God through Christ.
Right.
So.
And I mean, for me, especially, like, again, kind of going back to that time thing, you know, letting it happen, not necessarily on your time, just go with it, you know? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. And it's about control. I think it comes back to letting go of control. And if I'm going to walk humbly with God, then I have to give up control and say, God,
exactly,
my time, my life, everything about me is in your hands.
Right. You're no longer the leader. You're the follower.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I think that's where people, you know, I know I lose sight of that daily. You know, I'm the kind of person, I'm always trying to, you know, carve my own path instead of just standing back and again, following, instead of trying to be the leader in the group. So that's something I find myself doing more than I like to admit.
Well, that's interesting because I would expect that of you, knowing what I know of you. But you and I are opposite that way. I find myself becoming one to be more that leader that moves forward.
Sure.
But for most of my life, I've wanted somebody else to set the direction.
Sure.
And I'll give my yay or my nay to it.
Right.
And it's, you know, that's, you can imagine that's caused some stress in our marriage.
Sure.
You know, your wife doesn't want to be the one who's doing all of the leading.
Right. Totally. You know? Totally. So, yeah.
But, I'm not trying to say to you though, is that I have an easier time of walking humbly with God. I'm not saying that at all.
Oh, no. I understand that.
Because it's that issue. You can tell me what you do and I'll either follow or not follow. I'm still making that choice. So,
right.
I just have this picture of this with this man in the garden, and my picture of being with God and walking along these trails.
Sure.
And not caring, like we've been talking this whole time about time.
Right.
Not caring about time. You lose yourself in time. It's not important anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And it's crazy how, like you said, I mean, it really doesn't even say that in there, but that is the interpretation that comes out to me.
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah. Well, it's what we've been talking about, so I can understand why you would think that. And it kind of takes off some pressure when we don't say that, we don't have to be perfect. Micah doesn't say be perfect. Christ was perfect for us.
Correct.
And I do this out of grace. I do what is right. I love mercy. I walk humbly with God because he, first of all, did what's right. He had mercy on me, and he walks with me. You know, and so it's a joy to be able to shoot. We ought to see it as a joy, and something comes out of our heart, not out of a rule or regulation. Well, this is what you got to do,
right.
Even though we can see it that way.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, it's been good to be with you today. The Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And if you live in the Colorado Springs community and you don't have a church home, we would love for you to come by and visit us. Or if you're out of town and you come through here on a Sunday, and we'd love to have you come to worship with us. We worship at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 on Sunday mornings, with Bible class for adults and children at 9:30 and for adults at 11 o'clock. We have a ministry at Holy Cross called Life Tree Cafe. It's a wonderful ministry. We have four different times that our Life Tree Cafe meets at Holy Cross. We have two different Life Tree Cafes that meet on opposite days but the same time, on Mondays and Tuesdays from 11:45 to 12:45. We have a Life Tree Cafe. And then we have one on Wednesdays at 6 o'clock, and one we call Life Tree Plus is also going now and since August. And that one is on Saturdays evenings from 6 o'clock to 8 o'clock. There's some music that goes along with it, some other stuff. That's why we call it Life Tree Plus. And Life Tree is about you being able to come and talk about important issues in your life, but where your thoughts are welcome, your doubts are welcome, and we try to form and be community with each other. So we hope you could try that out. If you'd like to get a hold of me, please email me at praying... questions at prayingwiththeeyes.com. I'd love to hear from you. We invite you again to go to the show notes for this episode, which you'll find at the website, the Praying with the Eyes website. And check out the other links that we have posted there for you and the Bible passages that will be listed there as well. To be very honest with you, because it's been a crazy time of year when you get through Christmas and there's a few things that we do around Holy Cross, I don't know what I'm going to do next time. I do believe Rochelle will be back with me next time. Jason, thank you for being a part of this episode.
Yeah, and, not a problem. Appreciate you coming by.
Yeah. We'll be back again because I love coming down here in your dungeon.
Right. My
time stops
so
down
true.
Here.
The silent dungeon. It's like you can literally hear yourself think in this room. Yeah.
Well, you, maybe you listened last time to Pastor Dave Hall and I. And so this is the shameless plug time of the podcast. You know, I have a Facebook group called Praying with the Eyes, and that's part of the Ministry of Holy Cross. But I started this one also, Douglas Bronner Photography, and Dave gave me a bad time about that being a shameless plug for it. So from now on, it's going to be called the Shameless Plug Time. And
shameless,
And Jason, did you get that little jingle done?
Not yet. I was going to do it real time.
And so by the time you hear me talk about this, you probably will have already heard the jingle about this anyway at the beginning of the episode. I forgot to start with that, so it was a lot of fun anyway. Anyway, God's blessings to all of you, and I look forward to being with you on our next podcast.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Jason Laird Productions, which you can find online at jasonlairdproductions.com. For any thoughts or questions that you might have, email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We also invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by sharing a link on one of your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.